Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Bruce Davies, author of The Love Letters, which is the second book to have St. Francis of Assisi at its heart. As one of the world's leading secular authorities on the inner life of the revered saint, Davies has resided in Assisi for many years and is well suited to retrace the steps and philosophy of love, service, and true humanity that this great master and his friend St. Clair shared in their time as they professed hopes for the future development of all religions, to recognize the power of personal connection to spirit and to the true values of love, harmony, and balance, which are the building blocks of our soul's development and the refinement for an empowered human community. Hello, Dr. Davies.
Hi, Cheryl. It's good to talk to you.
And to have you here with me today. Bruce, as listeners of this show know, the many authors and leaders in the field of spirituality, religion, philosophy, science, medicine, psychology, indeed, all seekers of truth for understanding the human and divine connection, offer insights into age-old questions of what really motivates us to seek contentment while at the same time encourages us to go forward, to still live a more purposeful life. Are the two really compatible? And can our review of ancient healers and leaders in religion show us a simpler way to live and love? That is our question. And in today's episode, I hope you, as a spiritual psychologist and teacher of world religions who has been leading retreats worldwide since 1983, will share the beauty and grace of silence and your deep connection to simplicity and heartfulness. In your book, in the fictional world of the love letters, Francis and Claire, here there is a new pope, and as the word travels through the small villages in Italy, it is said the new pope is a follower of Francis. What will this mean for the powerful and out-of-touch church? This pope feels the hunger and love of the people. This pope knows that humility is the true path to God. Can this new pope open the doors to the church to include and serve the poor, those in need? Can the new pope restore God in the heart, where he truly resides in everyone, Christian, Jew, or those of any faith? Today we will share our trust that this is not only possible, but probable in this new age of spirituality that we now find ourselves in, that will usher in 1,000 years of self-actualization and personal development and the evolution of all to become more human and humane. Bruce, please tell us something of your earlier life, your search for an intimate perspective of spirit, and perhaps any people who were influential in the work you have chosen.
Oh, it's a big subject. You know, I was in graduate school, and I was studying all the new theories in psychology, and I was looking at the therapists, and they seemed as serious and unhappy as many of their patients. And so in 1975, I wrote the first book about the inner child. It was called The Magical Child Within You. And it was all about the importance as adults that we remember our inner child, our joy, our innocence, you know, our spontaneity, and that life is not all about being important and being successful. Life is also about play and joy and friendship and beauty and all these other things. And then since then, this idea of the inner child has become more and more normal. You know, but this, in those days, people were talking about the inner child in terms of rediscovering your painful childhood memories or rediscovering, you know, the trauma you went through. But they weren't talking about rediscovering the inner child to rediscover our inner joy.
Bruce, they weren't really talking about knowing who you are as a divine soul and energy with great capacity for love, not suffering. So suffering only comes about as because of the human condition and the socialization process, and you were seeking the deeper part of yourself, and that is the right way. It's the lightness of our being, the lightness of our spirit and soul, to know ourselves and to know we're perfectly fine. It's finding our own divinity or connection to spirit and evolution and the creation of all life. So to put it. And I must say, I love the way you just said that, because I have many psychologists, friends and family, and some of them are very serious and a little afraid to go into this happy zone. They're more comfortable with people who have trauma or behavior problems, and that's where they stay. And if we create that energy, that's where we will stay. And if we create an energy of happiness and joy and positive thought and action, that's how we'll move forward and be healthy, divine and physical beings at the same time. So I like the way you described that very, very much. But Bruce, let's go on to why did you write this book, The Love Letters?
Well, we just came back from living in Assisi, Italy for 12 years, and that's the spiritual home of St. Francis of Assisi. And as you probably know, St. Francis was a very special man. Now, he was very human, but he was open to the beauty in nature, the beauty in everyone. He left a wealthy family just to be with the normal people. He wanted to serve people. And accumulating possessions was not important to him. What was important was accumulating more heart, his heart and hearts of others. And so we were living there in Assisi. We had a retreat center there, and people would come to that special place to experience the peace of Assisi. So it has a very special peace there. And then we returned to California, and recently we started a retreat center here called Silent Stay. And within a few months of coming back to California, there is a new pope. And the new pope is, for the first time, takes on the name of Francis. And so my imagination went wild. In the first few weeks of the new pope, our imagination went wild. What if this new pope really was like a brother of St. Francis? What would the Catholic Church look like? And so that's how the book took off. The idea, what would religion look like if it really followed in the footsteps of St. Francis? And slowly, slowly, step by step, this new pope is trying the best he can. He's in a very conservative environment, surrounded by very conservative people, that slowly he's trying to open people's eyes and hearts for a little more humility, a little less judgment, a little more forgiveness, a little less rules and more openness. And I think the biggest thing in the new pope is his simplicity and his generosity of spirit. And these are the values of St. Francis of Assisi.
Now, in also talking about St. Francis, and from your book, I realized that they discovered both St. Clare, who was his friend. Now, she was not a nun, and he was not a priest. They were just people who found a simple way to live with, I believe, nature and God and the animals, and to help the sick and poor. So they lived in communities, and others came to live with them. And they discovered what we now know today is the mystic's path. They found their lives would transcend normal desire and fear as a perfect peace and joy grew within them. And they had a trust in life and God, and this connection to God became stronger and stronger as they lived in this peaceful and authentic, let's use that word, authentic way. So they found that God was not limited to the building or the ritual or the ceremony of the church, but was found mysteriously everywhere and everything and in everyone. So, of course, the path was not easy. It's still not easy for people who are spiritual and try to profess that we're all the same, all religions are the same, and we need to come together in the oneness and unity of life and the joy of our heart. People still want you to fit into categories and belong to some accepted group. But they were the first long ago to do this, to be part of the openness of their mind and their heart. And you were also talking before about people who try to help others and somehow They may have not even found their way to happiness yet. In my new book, The Living Spirit, there is a section called The Need to Take Responsibility for Our Happiness. And what it suggests is that each person has the personal power to recognize we have this energetic or spiritual essence, and also a physical life. But it's only by knowing this and aligning ourselves to these higher energies of the universe and higher spiritual values, not of the world necessarily, but of a higher nature. So let's go on to what you were starting to say about Pope Francis, the Pope of today. If he seems to embrace the philosophy and heart-based view of expansion and divine expression of simple living continuously, how would the church change, and how would it eventually look? What could we possibly hope to see?
Well, it's as you know, when you start living this path, it's a whole different life.
Yes.
You know, do we want to live to be self-important? Or do we want to live to serve others? And that's a whole different path. And so imagine the church started teaching everybody the prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of peace. I mean, that's very different than, Lord, make me an instrument to gather and accumulate possessions and to be important and to have status. And it's just a whole other life. Now, what happens if everybody went to church and said, they all did this prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of peace. And then we went home and we made peace with the difficult people at home. We went to work and made peace with the difficult people at work. No, that was our commitment. We make peace with the neighbors who are difficult to get along with. You know, it would be a very different world. But many people in the church, they're just comfortable going to church because that's the thing to do, including the leadership in the church. It's very comfortable to have your salary there and a nice place to live. And we're right, and all the other groups are wrong, and if people just listen to us and follow what we choose to believe, then they'd be okay. And it's very different. Instead of making the other groups wrong and we're right, we look inside and see where maybe I'm wrong, where I could grow, where I could have more humility. And every group, there's something right with every group. In every religion, there's something right. And in every religion, there's things that we can grow from. So what you're really talking about, and what the Pope and the could lead in this direction, is everybody to be more reflective, to look at ourselves before we judge each other.
And you said something very important. People get into a comfort zone and they think that they don't need change or to evolve. And that is absolutely not the way of living life, or even death, which is a change or a transition from one plane to another plane of energy or thinking or another reality. So we need a different reality to come about, and we need to remember, like you said in the book, people say the Church of Rome is strong and powerful, and this is part of the problem. Our Lord is naked and generous. Jesus offers everything to our Lord and receives God in his heart. We follow in the same footsteps. Our Lord never said anything about building a church. He never said anything about armies defending the faith. He had no doctrine to judge others. And this is St. Francis talking to Claire, and he says, "Oh, Claire, what is our humble brother, the Bishop of Rome, to do?" And this is the question. When people take ideas and they make it into something that serves them in the physical world, as most religions did, if we're to look at it clearly. They did what they had to invest power and to hold control over land and over people in communities. But, you know, as a medium, I do many, many readings for people, and I receive a downloading of a great deal of loving energy. And I only feel the beauty and the warmth and the generosity of spirit to help and guide us to be the beautiful people and divine souls we already are, and to not buy into the fear system of the physical world as it is and the materialistic world. I'm not saying it's not wonderful to have a beautiful life, to be able to travel, to have a car, to have good food and clothing to protect you. But there is a deeper need of the heart to know itself and its connection to all of life. And that's what we're talking about here. And that's what St. Francis and St. Clare were very much about. Now, if the church could look different, because we now have this new pope who is seemingly very interested in the simple way of life, and it's very refreshing to see that, and he is very much interested in the world of brotherhood and unity and love and a cooperative effort to support human life, how would women now fit into the structure of God's plan? And you discuss this in your book, and I was very interested in it.
Yeah, well, Clare was the first woman to start an order. That was a big step 800 years ago. And she was like the first one in the Western world, a real feminist.
Mm-hmm.
The first woman to start an order, but still women were second-class citizens. I mean, this was 800 years ago. They're still treated that way today. It's like a thermometer of equality of life for everyone. So in the cultures around the world, in the religions around the world, if you take a thermometer and you look how women are treated, the places where they're treated the worst are the places where human rights, consciousness, the life of a heart, truth and justice, all those things suffer the most. And so I'm hoping the new pope will understand this. He's part of this male culture of the church, that many of the problems in the church are directly related to the lack of women being in the church, the lack of feminine spirituality being in the church, the lack of women being in the leadership of the church.
I know whatever he feels in his heart, the new pope now, he does not have the support to go ahead and make women priests or allow them to make decisions in the church. He will try in many ways to move them forward. But this is an issue that is still not being seen in the 21st century. And as Clare wrote in the 12th century, and you wrote this in the book, of course this is your imagination going free, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. Isn't it time for women to have their own place in the world, in the church of our Lord, and be heard? We are in the 12th century. How long do women have to wait to make their own decisions? If I can lead my sisters in pursuit of this great love, don't you think all women are capable of making decisions to find their path? And if our new Bishop of Rome is meeting with your brothers, shouldn't he be talking to me and my sisters as well? Are not our hearts, our commitment, our lives as true as yours? Francis, you know it was Mary, our Holy Mother, who carried, loved the Lord, and brought him into this world. Today it is my heart and the hearts of all women who hold their men and hold their newborn children. Our Lord spoke often with and visited women, as he continues to do so now, and pointed to his mother for his disciples to follow when he was gone. It was women who first found his tomb empty, and women who first recognized he was risen. Women and our Lord have a bond of iron and steel. Nothing and no one can take this bond apart. Now, there is a story in the Jewish religion of the time when Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, and it took him a little bit too long, and the men were frightened, so they went to the women and took their jewelry and made it into the golden calf. And when he came down and saw that, he was very angry. And then the Lord said, because the women had enough faith in me to wait, and they didn't give away and go and make this, but the men did, they will be my spiritual leaders, and they will bring forth life into the world and hope. So there it is. That comes from another religion in another perspective.
Judaism, yeah, is the roots of Christianity.
Absolutely.
And this is the, I mean, it's all one human family, and we're all evolving. And what we're realizing that it's not only women, it's not just women, like physically women, but women are a symbol that generally they're more into their feelings. They're more into their heart. They more naturally find compassion. They raise infants and are sensitive to infants. Now, it's a certain human quality that it's in men too, but it's more dominant in women. And this human quality is needed in the church and in the church of all religions.
Yes.
And it's not just having women priests. They have to be like women. No, they have to be loving and hugging and caring and forgiving and compassionate. You know, it's not like just that we need women priests. We need all priests to be more feminine, to express that part of themselves.
Well, yes, everyone has a feminine and a masculine side.
Exactly.
When you tap into both, you're balanced and you're at your maximum best.
And the church and all the religions, has many of them, has lost touch with our feminine side, and we have to have women come lead us back to that part of ourselves. You know, it's really beautiful that you quote from the book, and I appreciate it, because it's not easy writing a book these days and having people find it and buy it, because there's no more bookstores. There's very few bookstores.
That's very true. Everything is going into an e-book.
We encourage people to go out and buy the love letters and share this new spirit that has to come in the church. You know, the Pope can only do so much. He's surrounded by such a conservative community that's going to be everybody to pick up this message of more caring, more love, more service, less judgment, and more compassion. You know, the Pope spends a lot of time with poor people, and he did this in Argentina too. And we all should spend time with the less fortunate, because it's one human family.
Any kind of work in the community, reaching out to people when you feel like going away from a difficult situation, or when someone maybe frightens you a little because they're very different from you, or when you travel to different cultures, when you study different religions or philosophy or subject matter, you are able to absorb the wholeness of this wonderful world and how far we have advanced, and to know we need to incorporate it into all our thinking. You know, we're not really talking about the church here or even religions. What we're really talking about here is each person being able to develop their personal power to look within themselves, to follow their own innate intuitive guidance, and to try to find a decent and loving life, regardless of the opinions or the outside environment.
And in general, our culture, in my opinion, is too intellectual and not heartful enough. And so in our we have all these intellectual abilities, but we're not taught the ability of compassion or the ability of patience or service or random acts of kindness. We're not taught the ability of humility and trust and, you know, all these other qualities. We're not taught to how to enjoy silence and to find our own solitude. You know, all these other qualities of life are missing for most people. We're just academically taught, and we're out there academically and intellectually achieving, but the whole other part of us, what I would call the feminine part of us, is starving, is really missing.
Yes.
And people like you, with your awareness, and many therapists, we're trying to restore it, but it needs to be in the schools, it needs to be in the churches.
Yes, absolutely.
It needs to be in the culture, that people learn what is compassion. People learn what is surrender. You know, people learn what is generosity, what that means.
And they learn what is really peace. And you are an expert on silence for spiritual connection and simple peace. What can you suggest? How can someone begin to embrace silence in our busy world? How can we slow down the world so we can delve deep into our heart and rediscover what we were born with? It is our soul nature to know these things, but the world has taken it away. How can we rediscover it again?
Well, it's difficult these days. People are so plugged in, and they're afraid to turn off the email and the smartphones and everything else. No, this has happened so quickly, just in the last few years. So the first step is actually to turn the machines off every day for an hour or two, or best for a weekend, for a day, and turn off the machines. It will still be there when you turn them back on. And silence is not really silence. It's about coming back to peace and quiet.
Yes.
When you have some peace and quiet outside, you can remember this place of peace and quiet inside. So for the last many years, we've been offering silent retreats in Europe and now near Napa, California. We're at silencestay.com. And it's really important that people come into silence for a few days, which is really coming into peace and quiet. We have beautiful nature all around. And then we teach a very simple meditation what helps people come into their own inner peace and quiet.
Well,
and the thing in meditation, most people in meditation, they're just watching your thoughts for 20 or 30 minutes and they get up and go. And that's not real meditation. Meditation is receiving our true awareness, which is receiving our own inner peace and quiet. And so we teach people how to receive the quiet of the heart.
Yes.
And when you look inside the heart and find the quiet of the heart, then our mental life is not so intense. It begins slowing down. And our quiet of the heart really is our deep resource.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's our deep resource of everything that's good.
You know,
energizes us.
You know, in my book, The Living Spirit, which just came out in May, I offer several exercises and meditations and stories and teach a way to really hold the peace longer than just the meditating, the time that it takes to do a meditation, whether it be 15 minutes or 5 minutes or an hour. The way to go into a state of calm and quietness whenever anything happens around you that disrupts you. And people need to learn these techniques of protection and healing for themselves. And of course, we need to take time away from the chores of daily life. However we do it, observing nature, listening to music, being part of service to the community, learning more about ourselves and the world, and other ideas and experiences that will broaden us. And this has always been done in the name of only our physical life, but now it's going to be done in the name of our spiritual life for peace and compassion and love. And I think there's many people now going away to retreats, going to classes, going into activities that take them out into nature. I think there's a big need for it, and I think a lot of people are responding to it now, as your book and my book are hoping to be part of that guidance system. But you do need teachers, and you do need to surround yourself with people who value what we're talking about here. There will be others who are not ready for it yet, but that's okay. In our time, in everyone's time and way, we're all headed to the same road, and that is the road of evolution and accepting and allowing and surrendering to the infinite universal world of love. And I want to thank you, Bruce Davies, author of The Love Letters, A Mystical and Empowering Way to Love Life, Each Other, and the Divine in ways that reflect the universal laws of energy and the capacity for humans to find the heartfelt base of their humanity and goodness, as did St. Francis and St. Clair and other messengers of spirit in the past and now. For more information on this book and to purchase it, go to gravedistractions.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, I believe we have shared the story of ancient wisdom seekers, St. Francis and St. Clair, friends and compassionate souls looking to shine the love and divine energy of heaven into the way they shared their hopes and life in the service of becoming more fulfilled human and divine souls. They look past the extreme conditions of the physical world to know their heart-based sense of connection to eternal energy and the divine, and held their truth within courageous hearts. I see them not so much as religious figures, but human beings who were able to see the greater view of interconnecting to a higher plan for self-development, a spiritual way to learn more about themselves, life, God, and eternity. And the next step, I believe, beyond any ancient religious system, is to conquer fears and deal with the issues of a physical world, to find the personal connection in the silent way of the heart and soul, to know God on a very intimate personal level. Bruce wrote, "Our path is nothing more or less than receiving. Every day is the simple peace. Life is precious. Simple peace, and our hearts wrestle with the divine being. So much for our simple heart. The birds, animals, planets, and stars are family in these moments. Francis, I know you have tried again and again to explain to the bishops that they are no more special than our homeless friends, the lepers. The rich are no more rich than the poor. Life's treasure is within us. Why don't people understand that everything is given in the silence of the heart? If we sit still, God is present. Bruce and I hope that you may find a moment of silence, a true connection, and begin to live fully, knowing we are one with all life. And may the tears shed be of joy for a world that vibrates with love, compassion, and a humanity drawn to their highest potential for living hopefully. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Please go to my website, cherylglick.com, webtalkradio.net, and dreamvision7radio.com to hear inspirational authors in the field of spirituality, science, medicine, and the arts share their stories and dreams for the new way to live and love life. Thank you.